Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoorah! I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel, sitting in for the Colonel as he vacations in sunny Florida. Folks, our great nation is slowly starting to look more like a third-world banana republic and less like the burgeoning constitutional republic set up by our founding fathers. Today, we see things that never would have happened even 2 years ago. For instance, now there is talk of arresting former President Trump. Of course, no one is above the law, but many people believe this is just a political hit against a presidential candidate by allies on the far left. I never thought I would say this, but I no longer trust the FBI and the Department of Justice. Folks, we have got to get our country back on track. Stay tuned, and we will figure it out together. Well, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is my wife, Sarah Coriel. Sarah, this is your first time on Frontlines of Freedom. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Skip. I am delighted to be here.
Well, and you're excited enough. How is the springtime treating you? This is the first week of spring.
It's lovely to see some green. And we have a new hatching of baby chicks this spring that is phenomenal. Very excited around here.
Well, spring is in the air. Flowers are blooming. Baby chicks are hatching everywhere. And Frontlines of Freedom is on the air. Well, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Noncom, I'm going to discuss the oppressive state of our American oligarchy, which more and more often appears to be run by clowns and jokers, but seldom have our best interest at heart. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Bruce Anderson will discuss the rewards and challenges of being a Navy chaplain. The Honorable Mark Boonstra will share his new book, In Their Own Words. We'll talk about being a Navy SEAL team member with David Brown. And Steve Udovich will talk about the new Afghan-Iraq Memorial Project gaining steam all across America. And of course, Diane Raver will present the movie of the month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. I'd appreciate it if you would also go to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Noncom on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Start us off, Sarah.
One U.S. contractor was killed and five U.S. service members were wounded Thursday when a suicide drone hit a coalition base near Hazaka in northeast Syria just before 2 p.m. local time, the Defense Department said in a statement. The intelligence community believes the drone to have been of Iranian origin, according to the statement. The U.S. retaliated with airstrikes on Iranian-linked targets in the area. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said, "At the direction of President Biden, I authorized U.S. Central Command forces to conduct precision airstrikes tonight in eastern Syria against facilities used by groups affiliated with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. The airstrikes were conducted in response to today's attack, as well as a series of recent attacks against coalition forces in Syria by groups affiliated with the IRGC. Our thoughts are with the family and colleagues of the contractor who was killed and with those who were wounded in the attack earlier today," he said. Two wounded service members were treated on site, while three others and the wounded U.S. contractor were evacuated to medical facilities in Iraq. General Michael Eric Kurilla, the commander of U.S. Central Command, said Thursday in testimony to Congress that there have been 78 attacks against facilities housing U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria since January 2021. The attacks, mainly by drones and rockets, are believed to have been carried out by Iran or Iranian-backed proxies.
History teaches us over and over again that American weakness leads to tyrannical aggression on the world stage. In 1975, the U.S. abandoned South Vietnam to the communists. America's damaged prestige invited aggression. In 1979, Iran captured our foreign embassy and held Americans hostage. President Carter did nothing. A month later, the Soviets invaded Afghanistan. President Reagan restored American prestige by rebuilding American resolve and backing it up with a strong military. Here's the lesson to be learned. When America is weak, war threatens the world. But when America is strong, the world remains at peace.
Ukraine's Ministry of Defense said late Monday night that a military strike hit and destroyed Russian caliber cruise missiles while they were being transported by train in the town of Jankoy in the north of Russian-occupied Crimea. The strike serves to further demilitarize Russia and prepare the Crimean Peninsula for de-occupation, Ukrainian authorities said. Meanwhile, the Russian-installed head of the annexed peninsula confirmed there was a strike and that the air defense system in Jankoy was activated. One person was injured and two buildings were damaged in the strike, Sergei Askinov said. An amateur video shows a large explosion and resulting fireball. An individual is heard saying off-camera that the strike hit the train station. However, the video did not clearly show what had been hit.
This news is significant because it shows that Ukraine is indeed a formidable adversary. A year ago, everyone expected Russia to roll over the smaller country with blitzkrieg-like efficiency. But now, over a year later, Ukraine is taking the war to Russian-occupied Crimea. The Ukraine is now going on offense.
Chinese leader Xi Jinping's meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin is aimed at furthering the Chinese Communist Party's designs against the United States, according to analysts. Xi's March 20 to March 23rd visit to Moscow is his first to the country since Putin's February 2022 invasion and comes on the heels of Beijing's brokering a resumption of diplomatic relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Weeks before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Xi and Putin declared a no-limits partnership, and ties between the two countries have only deepened since then. The meeting was announced on Friday, incidentally, not long after the International Court of Justice issued an arrest warrant for Putin for war crimes. The timing of the visit is critical for both Xi and Putin, experts say. I think that Beijing, like most of the rest of the world, is worried that the conflict might escalate to nuclear warfare that would harm their own plans as much as anyone else, said Brandon Weikert, a U.S.-based geopolitical analyst and author of the book Winning Space, How America Remains a Superpower. At the same time, though, Beijing doesn't mind seeing their two biggest competitors, Russia and the U.S., bleeding each other in Europe, while China has free rein in the Indo-Pacific. Russia and China have just signed a joint agreement to expand their economic ties.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom have been warning about the rising power of China for years, and this new agreement with Russia is a significant development. China has long committed itself to being the lone global superpower, and this is just the latest event in their strategy. China is no longer deterred by U.S. military and economic power, and that's a dire cause for concern. Russia and China have long been our greatest security concerns, and it was tough defending against them. But now it's even worse. Now they are united against us.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning of an increasingly drug-resistant emerging fungus that the health agency says presents a serious global health threat. Candida auris is a rare fungal disease that is easily spread through contact with contaminated surfaces or from person to person and can cause severe illness in hospitalized patients and those with weakened immune systems, according to health officials. In some rare cases, the yeast can enter the bloodstream of patients and spread throughout the body, causing serious invasive candidiasis infections, which can affect the blood, heart, brain, eyes, bones, and other parts of the body, and can prove fatal. Data from a limited number of patients shows that 30 to 60% of people diagnosed with the fungal disease have died. However, healthy people typically do not get sick from the fungal disease. The CDC said it is concerned about Candida auris for three main reasons. It is often multi-drug resistant. It is hard to identify using standard laboratory methods, and it has rapidly caused outbreaks in healthcare settings. Additionally, individuals who have been hospitalized in healthcare facilities for long periods of time, especially those who have breathing tubes, feeding tubes, and central venous catheters going into their bodies, appear to be at the highest risk of contracting Candida auris. Other risk factors are generally similar to risk factors for other types of candida infections and include recent surgery, diabetes, and recent use of antibiotics or antifungal medications, initial data shows.
We should keep an eye on this and see how it develops. But here's the problem as I see it. We can no longer trust a politically motivated CDC. It's obvious they lied to all of us during the COVID pandemic, and the price for that is widespread distrust from the general public. That distrust could lead to widespread deaths should a severe pandemic occur here in the U.S. When it comes to the CDC, my policy is the same as Ronald Reagan's stance toward the Soviet Union. Trust, but verify.
9 Army bases are set to be renamed after recommendations from the congressionally mandated Naming Commission, a committee formed to review the military's references to the Confederate rebels who seceded from the United States, spurring the Civil War. Fort Pickett, Virginia, will be the first Army installation to be renamed as part of this year's service-wide plan to scrub base names that honor the Confederacy. Fort Pickett, located 60 miles south of Richmond, will be redesignated Fort Barfoot on Friday, honoring Colonel Van T. Barfoot, a World War II Medal of Honor recipient with deep Virginian ties.
Nothing against Colonel Barfoot, but this is political horse hockey. Politicians with their far-left political agendas need to leave the U.S. military alone and let us get back to spending our time getting ready for battle. Only then will we be able to deter our power-crazed enemies across the globe. While the Russian and Chinese militaries continue to upgrade their battle readiness, American politicians focus too much time and money on turning the greatest military in the world into a cultural experiment. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things that I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the non-com, then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll discuss the many rewards and challenges of being a Navy chaplain in a war zone with Bruce Anderson. At ease, troops, take a break.
The VA frequently denies veterans disability benefits for PTSD. Barry Law has been helping fellow veterans with PTSD fight for compensation for over 20 years. At Barry Law, we've spent decades building a team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees to provide veterans with maximum firepower when appealing VA decisions. To appeal your decision, visit PTSDlawyers.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers, and I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the non-com. Back in 1973, there was a single released by a band called Steeler's Wheel. It was titled Stuck in the Middle with You. It was written by Scottish musicians Jerry Rafferty and Joe Egan. Rafferty was the lead vocal and Egan sang harmony. The song reached number 6 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. I'm sure anyone over 40 would recognize the tune and the lyrics. Rafferty and Egan wrote the song as a parody of the music industry where a musician is at a cocktail party surrounded by music industry executives. In the official music video, one executive is trying to eat a rubber chicken while the rest stuff their faces with all manner of food, all the while squeezing out the talented musician who has to fight his way to the table. Probably the most famous lyrics ever performed by this rock band go like this. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. And that's how many Americans feel these days. The people in charge of our country are the rich, the powerful, Ivy League educated elite who have a firm death grip on our society refusing to let the everyday American like you and I have a place at the table. You and I are just the musicians. We write the songs, we perform them, we do all the work, but it's the elite who decide who succeeds and who fails. I'm sorry, but that's just not the American way. I grew up believing that anyone who worked hard and smart could earn their way to success. But I'm not so sure that's true anymore. Now it seems like there's an oligarchy, a choice few, who anoint the chosen who are to succeed in America. And when I look at our president and many in Congress, all I see are the clowns on the left and the jokers on the right. And here I am, stuck in the middle with you. I don't like it, but it's frustrating, because I don't seem to be able to do anything about it. I bite and I claw and I scratch my way to the table, only to be forced back again by the clowns and the jokers. To be quite frank with you, I really don't know how to fix the problem. I admit that corruption and ineptitude have always had a seat at the table of power in America, but in the past, there was always a limit to how stupid and incompetent our leaders could become. I'm not seeing that now. Before, there was always a moral line that corrupt leaders wouldn't cross. Even the worst of them had a smidgen of conscience and were held in check by the media, other politicians, and the general public. But that's not happening now. When everything was out of control, my grandpa used to have this saying, "It's Katie bar the door." And what did he mean by that? He meant that all hell was about to break loose and he needed to lock out the crazies and prepare for the worst. Listeners, I fear that America is getting to that point of no return, and I got the feeling that something ain't right. There are just way too many clowns and jokers, and they have all us rock-solid patriots surrounded. Right now, I'm afraid for our republic. In fact, I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. Why? Because there are clowns to the left of me and jokers to the right. What's a patriotic American to do when he's stuck in the middle with you? Here's my advice. I say we continue to fight against the clowns and the jokers as best we can. Just do what you can do and continue to pray for deliverance from God. But that's not enough. A good tactician also has a fallback plan, a plan B. Folks, you need to hope for the best but prepare for the worst. America is robust and a constitutional form of government can take a lot of abuse and still survive, but it still has its limits. How much debt can we accrue and still be a world economic power? How weak can we let our military become and still deter aggression? When will the house of cards come tumbling down? Is it $40 trillion in debt? $50 trillion in debt? Do we really want to find out? And right now, China is to the left of us and Russia is to the right. Right now, America is stuck in the middle, has no shortage of enemies, and these tyrants will stop at nothing to bring us down. Do we really want a clown coordinating a war strategy against China and Russia? Do we want Joe Biden as our joker-in-chief to command our military and our economy? I think not. The man barely has a pulse and the whole world knows it. Listen, I'm just a lowly Marine non-com and I'm trying to make some sense of it all, but I can see it makes no sense at all. So I encourage all of you to begin preparing for the worst. Return to the lifestyle of your grandparents. Grow your own food. Train and equip yourself to protect your family. Become as self-sufficient as you possibly can before the jokers and the clowns jostle the table and bring this house of cards falling down. And, most important of all, return to the rock-solid foundations of our country. This country was founded on the principle that a republic can survive only with an informed and moral electorate. Return to the basics. Get back to God. As always, when you don't know what to do, go back to the beginning. Anything less, and we'll be stuck in the middle with clowns to the left of us and jokers to the right. And they will make a laughingstock of our once great country. And those are my comments for today. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby now. What do you have for us this week, Roland?
In the world of defense technology, there's a well-documented problem they call the Valley of Death. That death is that of a small business that doesn't have the cash flow to stay in business while the Department of Defense winds through its terribly long budget process. You see, small businesses or startups can receive a couple million dollars to develop a new innovative technology for our warfighters. Then once the first prototype is delivered, there's no more money to actually bring the new technology to the field. Now, that doesn't mean the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy isn't interested. In fact, they may want it really badly. It just takes too long to secure the needed funding. And small businesses can't just sit back and twiddle their thumbs for 2 to 3 years waiting for a contract. And the worst case scenario is when a Chinese company swoops in to invest in that small business and then takes the technology out of the country. And we've seen this tactic the past few years when it comes to general aviation, with a number of Chinese companies coming in and buying American aircraft companies. But there is hope. The Department of Defense and the Small Business Administration recently partnered to establish the Office of Strategic Capital. This new office will seek to serve as a go-between connecting venture capital funds and startups seeking the funding to help them wait out the Pentagon's notorious slow budget process. And one of the best parts of this new partnership? It's going to take very little money to fund the operation, as its purpose is to convince venture capitalists to invest their money in startups. History has shown that the armed forces can quickly do innovative things if there's a crisis. A recent example is the Air Force helping Ukraine install U.S.-made high-speed radiation missiles on Russian-built MiG-29 jet fighters. You know, we don't always need a 100% solution that's going to take a decade to develop, especially if an 80% solution will solve a problem the military has right now. And the Pentagon is trying to make it so that we can continue to bring on this new technology as quickly as possible, and not just from the giants, such as Boeing or Lockheed Martin. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Skip.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss Mark Boonstra's new book about the words of the American Founding Fathers. Then we'll learn about the challenges of being a chaplain in the United States military. All this is coming up. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Start with 50, take a break, and do another 50. Then stand at ease.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
From ending our nation's endless wars to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Troops, please do send us your comments and questions. Email us through frontlinesoffreedom.com. And now, folks, we have a first-time guest on the show. He's a judge on the Michigan Court of Appeals and the author of a book called In Their Own Words. Please welcome to the show the Honorable Mark Boonstra.
Morning, Skip. Thanks for having me.
Well, hey, that's great. How should I address you today? You know, we're friends from outside Frontlines of Freedom, but should I call you Mark? Mr. Boonstra, the Honorable Mr. Boonstra, or His Holy Honorableness, what do you prefer?
Sometimes Hey You even works, but call me Mark.
All right, Mark. Good. I feel comfortable with that.
Right.
Well, Mark, it's great to have you here. I've been looking forward to doing this interview because, you know, I have been checking out your book titled In Their Own Words. And it just looks like made to order for what America is going through right now. But first, let's start a little biography here. Take a minute here and just say, you know, who is Mark Boonstra?
Well, I'm a West Michigan native who went to the east side of the state for a while, and now I'm back in West Michigan. But for the last 11 years, I've been and still am a sitting judge on the Michigan Court of Appeals. I practiced law at a major law firm for many years and then joined the court when Governor Snyder appointed me originally in 2012. And I've been serving there ever since. Although I do some things on the side, including over the last 8 years, it's literally been about 8 years that I began working on this book. because I agree with you. America is in desperate need of this message, I think. And that's why I started putting my thoughts pen to paper. And it took a while in my spare time to get this done. But it's finally been released.
Well, that's great. And that's on Amazon.com?
It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Liberty Hill Press is the publisher. It's also on their website. And there's a website for the book called foundersownwords.com. Has direct links to all three of those avenues of purchase as well.
Okay. Can you give us the gist of your book? What is it about?
Yeah, so you gave the title in their own words. Let's give the subtitle. The subtitle is Today's Godless America. What would our founding fathers think? And really the reason I began to work on this years ago now is that I was just beside myself and concerned for our country that we had strayed so very far in so very many ways from what our founding fathers intended us to be as a country. And as I thought about that and as my thoughts crystallized, I came to the conclusion in my own mind that there was one fundamental, underlying, overriding reason for all of the ways that had happened to us, and that is that we lost God. And we lost an appreciation for how important and fundamental a belief in God and in our Creator and in how much our society depends upon principles of morality and virtue that are founded in religion. That has been lost because the secularists in our society have systemically been endeavoring and doing everything they can over decades now to erase all of that from our society and to turn us into something we were never intended to be. So what I set out to do is to study all of our founding fathers in order to provide the American people with factual, truthful, honest information about who they were and what they believed, particularly with regard to religion and its place in our society. So what I did is first I thought, well, how do I define who our founding fathers are? And, you know, it's defined in many ways, but for purposes of this book, I studied all 118 men who signed one or more of our three founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the United States Constitution. And I've provided information first in biographical form about each one of them. Each has his own chapter. You know, it has all of the normal information in a biography about offices they held and achievements they achieved, but it's really focused on their religious lives, who they were, what they believed from a religious perspective, where they came from a religious perspective. And then perhaps more importantly, I follow up each biographical chapter with a series of quotations from that person about what they said in letters, in speeches, in diary entries, in proclamations, you name it, about what they said in their own words about religion and its place in our society. People may not care what Mark Boonstra or Skip Coriel think about that, but they ought to care what our founding fathers said, because they are the ones who built this country. And so I really was trying to open up people's eyes factually, truthfully, as to who these people were, what they said and declared in their own words about religion and how fundamental it is to our society. And then in each chapter, I contrast it with one example from modern day America. And I don't purport to provide all the answers. I'm trying to get people thinking for themselves. But I then pose the question to the reader, what would this signer think of this event in modern day America? And in more general terms, what would these 118 signers think of where we are today in our country? And, you know, my answer is they would be aghast at what we have done to the country they bequeathed to us. And I just want people to think about that for themselves as we debate the issues that are going on today.
Oh, absolutely, Mark. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're speaking with the Honorable Mark Boonstra about his book, In Their Own Words. Mark, I thought that all of our founding fathers were, you know, bigoted slave owners who, you know, beat their wives and hated everyone who wasn't exactly like them.
Yes, that's what they try to convince us, right? And that's what they're teaching our kids and our grandkids. And that's really why I wanted to put out truthful information, because of course that is not true. Certainly it is true that some in the South were slaveholders, but take the Lee family, for example. Two of the signers in the book, They're in volume 3 because it covers the signers from Virginia and the other southern colonies. Richard Henry Lee and his brother Francis Lightfoot Lee, who they called Frank. Richard Henry Lee authored the Resolution of Independence that led to the preparation of the Declaration of Independence. He came from a very established family. He and his brother came from the very established Lee family in Virginia. And their family were slaveholders over the years. Even, I think, the signers may have owned some in their, early in their lives. But Richard Henry in particular, let's just focus on him, was an adamant abolitionist, came to reject all of that aspect of his family. And the truth is, we didn't create slavery. They brought it over from somewhere else. The truth is, it's the founding principles of this nation that allowed us to overcome that awful institution.
Yeah.
And he's just an example.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's like, I think it was a concerted effort to take over America from the inside out. It's like kind of a moral rot, a moral decay that's been happening over the last 50 years or so. It's hard to go back and say, okay, when exactly did it start? In your mind, Mark, where did it really start as far as the moral decay and the turning away from God in America?
Well, I agree with you. I think it's been a gradual process. But, it's funny. I was on Dennis Prager's show about a year ago when I came out with the first two volumes of this book. And he said, he started out the interview, he said, the research that made this possible is astounding. When did you begin this? When you were 8? And I said, well, I said, no, but I think that's about the time that they started taking over education in America and journalism in America and taking over every aspect of our society so that they could control what Americans come to hear and believe. And I think it started probably that long ago, decades ago, 50 years ago, maybe more.
Yeah.
And then you, of course, get organizations, and I don't want to disparage anyone, the ACLU comes to mind in the context of, your listeners. You take some of the examples from my book of modern day America, the Military Freedom from Religion Foundation, they call it, right? Bringing lawsuits all over the country, challenging this or that. Here's one example, and this is in the chapter for John Matthews, who's a signer you may not have heard of, but wreaths across America are carpet bombing veteran cemeteries with a Christian gang sign, right? That's what they claimed, right? You put wreaths on the graves of veterans, and they claim that it's equivalent to carpet bombing with gang signs because it's a Christian symbol.
Wow. But Mark, we could go on all day, but unfortunately, we are out of time. You've given us a pretty good overview of your book. Mark, please tell us one more time, where's a website where people can find out about your book and more about you?
The book's website is called foundersownwords.com. And there are some excerpts there. There is a description of the book, I suppose a description of me, a little bit about me. It's also on Amazon, and there are Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can actually read some excerpts there as well.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, Mark, thank you very much for being on the show today. We really appreciate all that you're doing for America. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Skip.
Okay, we are taking a break now, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with retired Navy chaplain Bruce Anderson about the challenge of ministering to different denominations in the U.S. military. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. Yes, it's training time, so get your face down onto the deck and give me 50 good push-ups. But if you're over 65, only do 49 because you've earned a rest. Then take a break, rehydrate, but stay in the area. We will be right back.
This hour of Front Lines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. And we have the pleasure of speaking with Bruce Anderson today. Bruce is a retired Navy chaplain. Bruce, welcome to Front Lines of Freedom.
Thank you, Skip.
Bruce, I see you every week. Bruce is a friend of mine. We've been friends for a while now, and I've always been intrigued with Navy chaplains because I was in the Marine Corps, so I did meet a few. Bruce, thanks for being on the show today. Go ahead and just give us a summary of your time in uniform.
Sure. I had a church in Idaho before I went into the Navy as a chaplain, and I spent 21 years in the Navy. That was followed by 8.5 years at a Veterans Affairs Medical Center in Erie, Pennsylvania. But my time in the Navy, I spent most of it with the Navy. I spent the last 5 years with 1st Marine Division at Camp Pendleton. So I got a little bit of both the blue and the green side. Two different tours were sea duty. So I got to like 33 different countries between my deployments in the Navy and my deployment to Iraq in 2004 and 5. That might include Puerto Rico and a place or two that aren't exactly countries, but I saw a lot of the world and it was very interesting. And it was a great experience being a chaplain in the Navy.
Well, Bruce, you've got quite a mixture there. I'm curious, I did some time at Camp Pendleton myself, as a Marine. I'm curious, are there any differences in being a chaplain to Navy personnel and to Marine Corps personnel?
I think when you're talking with the basic troops, not too much. The difference is more in the leadership. In the Navy, even the good skippers on a ship would rather have another person for engineering that they could put on the engineering watch and free up that one person on the ship for something that they need more. Whereas in the Marine Corps, every battalion commander knows that he wants a Navy chaplain if he has to go into battle. He wants a good one. He doesn't want a deadbeat. But every battalion commander wants a chaplain. I think there's a little more recognition of the role of a chaplain in the Marine Corps than there is in the Navy.
Well, I certainly appreciated it when I was in the Marines. I would go talk to the Navy chaplain. And it was kind of cool, as an enlisted man. The first time I ever talked to a chaplain was during boot camp. I was just a recruit, a private, a lowly private. And it was kind of cool to be able to go talk to an officer and have to have him treat you like you were like an equal and to get all that encouragement. So, a chaplain helped me get through Marine Corps boot camp. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't you, though, Bruce.
No, it was not. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that. There are some terrific chaplains. We had a group that came in that followed on after the 9/11. Quite a few ministers went in to become chaplains, feeling a call to do that. And the group that went over to Iraq with me, I was more senior at the time, but the battalion chaplains that went over to Iraq were truly heroes. I can't even describe how they took care of their troops. And the detailers, that's what they call in the Navy, the person that sends people where they're going to be stationed. The detailer must have known what he was doing because the guys that were coming to be battalion chaplains when we went over to Iraq were the best chaplains I ran across the whole time I was in the Navy.
Well, Bruce, what in your mind then makes a good chaplain, especially for dealing with combat troops?
The good ones don't spend time in the mess hall with the officers. They get out among the troops. Those chaplains that I was talking about, they went out in Humvees and went to every forward position. They didn't hunker down somewhere where they were safe. They didn't just stick around with the officers in the chow hall or anything like that. They were out among the troops. They were being shot at in many ways just as much as the troops. It was just as dangerous for them to go out in a Humvee and go to forward positions. And they did all of that without blinking to take care of their troops. And it's hard to describe the kind of bond that there can be in a combat setting between Marines and between Marines and the corpsmen who take care of them and the good chaplains who will take care of them as well.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Bruce Anderson, retired Navy chaplain. Bruce, that really interests me because, you know, I spent 6 years in the Marines, but I was never in combat. I was a peacetime Marine. And I know even in just peacetime, you still build strong bonds with all of the people that you served with. I've got to imagine, I mean, being out there under fire on a daily basis, almost, that's got to build a really, really strong bond. Can you give us some examples of the kind of problems that you would deal with on the battlefield? What were men thinking about while they were out there, and what did they want to talk about?
Well, I think most joined, especially went over to Iraq, hoping that they were doing what the country said that they were over there to do. But most of them, I think, became disillusioned with that. And you end up fighting not for a cause that the president announces. You end up fighting for the Marine on your left or your right.
Yeah. You know, Bruce, I've heard that before with, mud Marines. You know, we'll talk about that, you know, say, yeah, I went over there to fight for my country, but I ended up fighting, you know, for Joe on my left and Frank on my right. And it's like we were family.
Right.
And that's all we knew right then. And the guys that you do that with, it's a bond that lasts forever. And
it really is. The guys that would come to me oftentimes as a chaplain, some of the things that I would run into is the convoys had a gunner on the rear vehicle, and there were signs. They made radio announcements all the time, all over the country. There were signs on the back of the vehicles, do not approach. And one of the great dangers for any convoy of Humvees out there or trucks, whatever, was vehicle-borne IEDs, improvised explosive devices. So a car bomb would come up and try and blow up a convoy. Well, that tail gunner, there's a car coming up from behind and they're closing fast, and their job was to maybe shoot a tracer round in front of it or hit the engine block. And then even sometimes when they would do that, the car would keep coming. So they had to light it up, so to speak. And many times it was a car bomb, just, you know, the way it looked like. But there were other times where it was a family of six. Mm-hmm. And why in the world they, you know, didn't slow down, or why did they gain on the convoy? It was just a great mystery, but it happened all too often. And so some poor guy who is only doing his job and has to do that to save his fellow Marines ends up with this a conscience that he just killed six innocent people. And that's a lot for a kid to deal with.
And yeah, it sure is.
That's the problem, is that when people go to war, they're put in a situation where you don't have all good choices. You don't even have one good choice. You have to pick between bad choices a lot of times in combat. And a person is only doing what he has to do, but at the same time, that it's hard to ever get over something like that.
Yeah, and that was probably the most important thing that you did out there, was to help men get through what they had to do, even though it's going to haunt them for the rest of their lives.
I think so.
All right. Well, Bruce, you know, we are out of time for this segment. But man, you really talked about some really gut-wrenching, really important topics, and we appreciate that. So, Bruce, I want to thank you very much for your service to our country, for all those. All right, and for all of those Navy guys and Marine Corps, you know, soldiers out there. Thank you very much for being on the show today, Bruce.
You bet. Happy to do it. Thank you.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing the Iraq-Afghan Memorial with Army vet Steve Yudovich. Then David Brown will talk about how he made it as a Navy SEAL at a whopping 5'3" tall and 110 pounds. Then we'll wrap up the show with Diane Raver and the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Normally, we do 30 good ones, but the colonel's on vacation this week, and there are no officers around. So, what the heck? Just do 15. But they should all be one-handed. 15 with the left and 15 with the right. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.